If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11. I want to share a couple other scriptures with you first. I want to share with you the fact that true doctrine floats. Now, when you think of the word doctrine, a lot of people think of doctor. No. That's not too exciting if you have to go to the doctors. But doctrine is exciting. The power of the blood of Christ is doctrine. And that's something to get excited about. Forgiveness from God is doctrine. And that's something to get excited about. Heaven is doctrine, and that's something to get excited about. But there are a lot of people who teach the wrong way, and they've never understood what the Bible says. And so good doctrine straightens us out and tells us what God says, and it comes from the Bible. But there are people who go under the water. And they shipwreck their lives because of false doctrine. And I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you before we get to the main one in Mark 11. First one is in 2 Corinthians 11:25. Paul's talking about his experience in ships. And he says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. Night and the day, I've been in the deep, talking about in the water. 1 Timothy 1:19, Paul says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then in Ephesians 4:14, we're warned. It says that we henceforth be no as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I've got a little video that I want you to see about a shipwreck. And out in the world, coming from all sorts of directions, political, religious, are waves and waves of false doctrine. And a lot of times, if people don't have the right doctrine, they're going to sink. They're going to do what the Bible says. That is, they're going to make shipwreck. They're going to go under. And that's kind of a frightening thing. So I want you to see this video right now. Somebody in the back could just flip the lights just a minute. We'll need them back on as soon as this is done. There it goes. Okay. I get seasick watching it. That's a shipwreck. And in the world, that's what happens to some people's lives. Now, Paul was on something like that three different times, and he got shipwrecked. He knows what a shipwreck is and how dangerous it is and how people die as a result of it. But the Bible tells us that there's a way that even though the waves of this world keep coming against us and doctrines that you'll hear sometimes in school, sometimes at home, sometimes you'll see it on TV, doctrines that are wrong can sometimes overwhelm you. And when they do, they can ruin your life. But good doctrine is important. In Mark chapter 11, I want you to see verse 18. Jesus had been teaching in the synagogue, and of course he taught in the temple as well. And what happened was people were paying attention and they were interested because what he said made sense. It made sense. And so in verse 18, it says, and the scribes and the chief priests heard about it, and sought how they might destroy him. for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. At his doctrine. Now, Jesus taught doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is something in our lives, some truth that God gives, now this is for the Christian, that makes sense and that we can put into good use. Doctrine is some truth that is really important. And today, you cannot go out into the world and just take something because some teacher says it. You need to make sure that what you believe is according to this book. See, this book has been around for a long, long time. God has preserved it down through the years. There have been kings who have outlawed the Bible, who don't want to hear it. Even in this country, in many schools, they won't even allow a Bible in the library. They've banned it. When I went to school, we started every day with a Bible reading and prayer. Every day. And today it's forbidden. They don't want you to hear the Bible. Instead, they want you to hear things that are false doctrine that are going to lead you into shipwreck. Into shipwreck. And you know, Jesus doesn't want that. That's why when he went into the temple, he taught the people the truth so they could break away from all the false doctrines that were out there. And they were taught to rely upon what the scripture says, not what man says. Over in Luke chapter 4, the doctrine that Jesus gave, it changed people's lives. It changed people's lives. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, it says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. His word was with power. Man's ideas don't come with power. I mean, just look at, let's just take for an example, evolution. Now, in school, they teach you that you came from monkeys. And, you know, sometimes parents jokingly will say, well, I believe it. Sometimes other people will say, yeah, I think you came from a monkey. But, you know, the Bible says that you were made in the image of God. Now, here's something to consider. The world says something about doctrine. It says, no, the Bible isn't true. You used to be a monkey. And this is what they want you to believe. How does that change your life? Does it make you a better person? No. On the other hand, when the Bible says God created you in his image, then you've got something to work for. You've got something to look up to. You realize that there's an almighty God who made you like you are, and he is the one that we need to be following. Not man's ideas. Man's ideas don't have any power to them. The doctrines that God gives, they have power to them. God's doctrine does amazing things. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We read about a man that had his own doctrines. He was a sorcerer. A sorcerer. How many of you know what a sorcerer is? Okay, you've seen the movies, right? You know what a sorcerer is. Okay, there was a man way back in Bible times that was a sorcerer. And he had a friend that was pretty important. And he wanted to lead this friend into false doctrine, in the wrong way. And so he tried to tell him, don't listen to the things about Jesus. That it's all wrong. Here it is in verse 6. Well, let's take him in verse 7. It says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. And here's that important guy, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And behold, now the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, what Paul did was dealing with the doctrine of the Lord. What doctrine was that? It was a doctrine that said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A doctrine of power that God gives to God's people so that they can do things that other people can't. And here this man became a believer because he saw this doctrine in action. He saw how his life could be changed, how he could be forgiven. He saw this. Now, God's people follow the unchanging doctrines that God gave in his Bible. You know, there are a lot of people today that say that the Constitution is meant to be changed. A lot of people say today the Bible is meant to be changed. But God's Word is eternal. God's Word's always going to be the same. And that's an important thing. Over in Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts chapter 2. It's talking about the early Christians. You ever wonder what the early Christians did during the day? Did they do the same things that we do today? No, their life was a lot different. You know, they had to walk to work. They didn't ride cars. These were people who had to work long hours. A lot of them worked from the time the sun came up to the time the sun goes down. And these were people who still got together every single day to worship the Lord because Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worthy. And we see this description of how Christians lived in the early days in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily. What does daily mean? Every day. Notice what they did. Every day. It says, they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. God's people push away doctrine that doesn't come from the Bible. God's people say, I don't want to hear anything that doesn't come from the Bible. And so there are a lot of people today that are making up their own Bibles. We have the homosexual Bible. We have other types of Bibles that people write so that it just puts in there the things that they want in there. You know, there's one Bible that comes from God, and it doesn't change. It's always the same. And if you were to go back 1,000 years, it would still be the same as what it is today. God's Word does not change. And that is what we're supposed to believe. That is what we're supposed to take into our hearts and believe and live every day. It's the doctrine that God sets down for us. We need to take a stand for what's right. We're living at a time when people are saying, you have to be understanding of Muslims and Buddhists and all this and accept their ideas. No, you don't. No, you don't. They didn't make this country great. They want to take advantage of the greatness of this country, but they didn't make it. What made this country great were people who in the 1700s got on their knees and they prayed to God and they believed the doctrines of the Bible. And they were the ones who made all the laws to begin with about this country. And they were dependent upon God. They didn't depend upon Allah or Buddha or any of these other Confucius gods. They depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so important. You see, a lot of you will hear things about other religions. And you have to remember, all these religions are Johnny-come-latelys. They've decided they're going to come up with something because they don't like what the Bible says. But the Bible has always been around. The Bible is always steadfast. And when all the waves of your life, when you get into a storm in your life, and some of you know what I'm talking about because you, in your home, there are arguments, there are fights. The police come. There are angry words said by your neighbors and things go on that you don't like. These are the waves that I'm talking about. And these waves can pull you under. These waves can hurt you. But when you stand upon the Word of God, you're not going to sink. You're not going to make shipwreck like Paul talks about. You're going to get through it, and God's going to bless you when you stand upon His Word and you say, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to accept anything else. God's people need to take a stand. We read a scripture earlier in Ephesians 4. Let me just mention this again because it's important. It says that we henceforth be no more children. You know, one of the things that a lot of kids look forward to is growing up. How many of you want to grow up? How many of you want to go backwards like you're 2 years old? Whether you like it or not, you're going to get bigger. And you're going to have to grow up. And one of the things that the Bible tells us is that little children sometimes, you know, they flip-flop back and forth between one thing and another. They want to get bigger. They want to get smaller. They want to do this. They want to do that. But when you really get mature, and that's part of growing up. You can be have a mature mindset when you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, looking forward to what God's going to do with your life. But when you get to that point that you're looking ahead, this is what the Bible says. Don't be any more children, tossed back and forth, carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's talking about false doctrine. He wants us to be anchored in the Bible. That's where you need to go to. When there's arguing in the house, when parents are fighting, or boyfriend and girlfriend, mom and boyfriend, or whatever it might be, when there are fights going on, go to your Bible. You're going to find strength and you're going to find comfort in that Bible because God's Word is true. God's Word has power to it, and it can help you and comfort you and strengthen you, and that's what God wants to do. In 1 Timothy 1:3, it says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. That means only the Bible. Only the Bible. A lot of people today don't realize that years ago when kids went to school, they'd have one big room and they'd have kids in there 4 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old, sometimes even older, all in that one classroom. And they'd all come together. And some of them, even ones that were 14, 15 years old, they couldn't read. First time in school. And you know how they taught them to read? They taught them to read the Bible. That's what they taught them to do. And they had girls who would make embroideries and learn how to write by embroidering the letters that were in the Bible. So these are things that way back they worked. God says, have everything based upon the Bible, and then God will bless it. And this is what we want for our lives. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, for the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Having itching ears. There are so many people today who want to come up with their own doctrine, and they don't like the doctrines of the Bible. Even though it gives them peace, even though it would give them comfort, even though it would give them forgiveness and new life, they don't want to hear about it because they didn't have anything to do with it. And they want to have something to do with their salvation. And that means they don't get saved. And the Bible says that in the last days, and that's the last days that we're living in right now, it says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. You know, when all the children were up here and we were singing, what song was that?
Days of
Elijah?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the name of God?
Jehovah.
Jehovah. Now, I want you to remember that. Can we all say that?
Jehovah.
Does Jehovah, is that the same as Allah? No, it's not. Jehovah's not the same as Allah. But there are some people who want you to believe that it's the same. And that's not true. It's not true. That's the kind of doctrines of devils that the Bible talks about. That is going to be here in the last days. We need to carefully distinguish who it is that we serve, the God that we serve. We know His name. And He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to come down here to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. That's the God we save. You know, Allah didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. No other God did that. The true God who loves us sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. A lot of people try different things, different religions, different faiths. And bottom line, they're without power. They don't change your life. But when Jesus comes in and He saves you, your life has changed. You can live for Him. You have the power to live for Him. And He gives you a purpose in life that you didn't have before. And I want to encourage everybody here today to look at the doctrines that are sinking this whole country. This whole country is being swallowed up in sin. More and more people are accepting sin and saying, well, it's normal. Everybody does it. But the Bible says, repent of your sins. When Jesus went around, He preached, repent. That means turn away from. Make a U-turn. Get away from those sins. And He said, put your faith in Him. That's what He wants from us today. He doesn't want us compromising with the world. He doesn't want us giving into these false doctrines that are out there. He wants us to stand on the doctrine of salvation that is by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and our hearts just for a moment. We saw earlier a ship with waves so large that they swallowed up that ship. What if you were on that ship? You know, there are a lot of people on ships like that today. And there are storms just as bad. And those storms may be of a bad home life where people are always arguing or condemning, or there's violence in the home, beating one another. It might be a storm like that. Or it might be a storm where everybody's complaining and calling each other names. But you know, you don't have to go underwater. You look to Jesus. He'll lift you up. But if you want him as your Savior, you need to repent of your sin. And you need to receive him by faith. And that's what he wants you to do today. And so if you've never done it before, I'm going to ask you to do it. We're going to have an invitation. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. If you want Jesus to be your Savior, and you want to invite him today as you turn from your sin and turn to him, then you need to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm ready now. I'm ready to receive you as my Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you today for your love to us. We thank you for each one that's here today. We thank you for these young people and what potential they have. We pray, Lord, that they might be serious about growing up in you, that they might be serious about taking a stand on what's right and not caving in to the temptations that other people will throw their way. Father, help them that they wouldn't be overcome by the waves of this world. We pray that they might not end up shipwrecked, but instead being above the sea, safely in your hands. Lord, we pray that they put their faith in you, young, old. We pray, Lord, because you're the only answer. You're the only one who can save us. And we look to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We're going to have an invitation. If you would like to come and receive the Lord or the things that you need to pray about, we invite you to come.